This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Minutes after 7 p.m. Welcome back to this Thursday evening's edition of Power Business right here on Power 98.7. Thank you so much for staying with us as we will be bringing you more around the ongoing economic effects of the global COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, that we cannot run away from. As per normal, the weekly Power Suit segment will also be a feature this evening, and tonight we'll be in the company of Tourism SA CEO Sisan Jona. But first, we're going to kick off with the Power Solutions segment right here on Power Business in partnership with Power 98.7 and DSO Consulting. And today we are going to be talking about Treasury's Municipal Standard Charter of Accounts and solutions there. What I must remind you of as a Power listener, a business, is that this particular segment is open to you as a business that is seeking solutions. And that's exactly what we'll be doing in this particular segment, troubleshooting essentially. So do continue to take part in all the conversations that we will be having. Give us a call as always on that studio number 0861987000. Send us your WhatsApp voice notes as well on the line 0833037093. On Twitter, we are on the account at PowerFM987. Do use the hashtag PowerBusiness or send us your emails on the address powerbusiness@power987.co.za. Stay with us between now and 8 p.m.
Power Solutions is proudly brought to you by DSO Consulting. DSO Consulting. Truth. Trust. Results.
We go straight into it. Last week, we did not have this particular segment. We have it fortnightly, and it's one where we troubleshoot. We seek to do so. And tonight, we are joined by associate partner at DSO Business Consulting. That is Maritz van Sail. Good evening, Maritz.
Thank you. Good evening, Tumisang. Thanks for having me.
What we are unpacking is heavy this evening because we are going to go straight into MSCOA, which then is seeking to troubleshoot challenges that have been encountered in municipalities, standardizing the process thereof. Let's first discuss and unbunk the findings of what it is EMSCO seeks to do preliminary.
Thank you. I think some of our listeners might recognize the lingo of EMSCO as a monster.
And it's scary.
And I think it's anything but. Mm. I think it's a revolutionary change. We're the only country in the world that's got this sort of regulation in local government. But I think let's look at the problem statement that started in 2008, where MSCO comes from.
Yeah.
It stands for Municipal Standard Charter of Accounts. Mm. So back in 2008, the National Treasury wrote a letter to the minister, which was then Pravin Gordhan, I think. And they said data is inconsistent. We're getting it 4 to 5 months late. The commitment we made in IDP, it doesn't come through in the transactional environment. And even worse, we're feeding this information to the legislatures and they're making policy decisions on local government based on this.
Very problematic. Now, yeah. What then subsequently took place is that there is a sought intent to then rectify all those failures. Where do we start in terms of using a policy document that is going to do exactly that? And one of the examples that we've spoken about off air, and I would like to bring that conversation on air, is procurement. We have a big challenge when it comes to procurement, and then we have discussions about underspending and overspending. How then does MSCOA mitigate?
I think that's very important. You know, the core of MSCOA when it was regulated was to have segments in it. So in other words, you could trace a bottle of water on a specific municipality across its entire supply chain lifespan. Mm. Now, very importantly, you need to understand that supply chain feeds directly into MSCOA. So in other words, you have the ability now to compare an expense on a certain line level between provinces and municipalities. Mm-hmm. You can easily benchmark and say, you know what, a grader in the Western Cape is rented out an X amount, but in Northwest, it's a different amount.
Right.
And you can get that costing element because costing is one of the segments in there.
Mm, mm. And that costing element becomes important based on what I said in that initial question, in that when we also then have to deliberate with content from municipalities or even from national government, and we talk about underspending and overspending, we need to understand how that happens. So okay. Let's unbunk that.
Let's unbunk that. I think something very important you need to understand is the DORA Act, the Division of Revenue Act. So yeah. In other words, local national government gives your tax money in the form of a grant to a municipality. You get two categories. You get a conditional grant and a non-conditional grant. A non-conditional grant is like equitable share that is used for water and electricity, that free basic services that's supposed to subsidize municipals, poorest of the poorest community. The other element is the conditional grant. So in other words, they give you money based on a project in MSCOA that says, I'm going to build a clinic. So I promise that in my IDP. I'm going to deliver that to my constituents or the voters that I had.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be monitored on that. The problem is that that money is then released into a municipal bank account. And some of our listeners might even know about this, or maybe we can have that discussion going forward.
Yeah.
It's in your bank account, but it's actually supposed to be for that building of that clinic.
Only.
Yeah, and I know with my bank credit card, you know, when my wife gets it, and I know it's actually meant for tires on the vehicle, and there's a pair of shoes, it just goes that way.
Yeah.
At the end of that period, that clinic is never built, and then that money is just deducted out of your bank account. So that's where underspending comes. I never could explain to my kids that how could, with these billions and billions of allocations, how's our municipalities underspending? Because it's easy to spend. The trick is that it's a conditional grant. It's in the condition that you build that road. If you don't build that road, it's supposed to go back.
Aha. Now, does it go back? What have we found in terms of a trend that we have seen? And I want us to focus specifically on this, because most of our listeners would then ask, right now there's a pothole campaign that is taking place. We spoke about it on Tuesday, and it's a wonderful initiative. And one of the questions that I asked the MEC of Roads and Transport in Gauteng is initially, who then is going to get the procurement? How is this being done? And then accountability needs. And the reason why we ask this question is accountability at the end of the day. So once that money is meant to be returned back, what do we know about whether it does in terms of a level of scorecard?
Look, it's very simple. I mean, that money gets deposited into the bank account of the municipality. If it's not spent and reported on as per the regulation, it's just taken back. So it's not a question of, you know what the sad part is, the municipality might wake up one morning and then they're in a deficit.
Yes.
Whether we're in a positive, all of a sudden, because they didn't spend and activate their SCOA projects based on their IDP, all of a sudden they don't have money in the bank. And that puts us in a huge procurement. And SCOA is actually designed to ensure that you allocate those funds to those specific projects that you promised in your IDP. So there's no other way of spending that specific money into that project. If it's not there, can't be spent.
And this is where non-compliance comes in. Let's go straight into that, because when we debunk what MSCOA is meant to do and the failures that we find in between, then it doesn't justify why we have such a beautiful piece of
regulation
and then we have reporting that does not look similar to what is meant to happen.
Look, I think it's important to understand this is the biggest reform since the inception of the MFMA. And that is a short word, but it's a very powerful statement. Municipalities, all 257 of them, need to comply to this regulation. Now, what has National Treasury done is they used Section 1681 of the MFMA, and they are withholding or delaying equitable share based on non-compliance. So gradually, we're at a very, very positive position that municipalities are reporting regularly. The data sets are being uploaded to the LG database. And we have information on budgets and spending on those budgets in a very, very short time. In the past, it used to take 5 to 6 months to get that information. And you can just imagine that backlog.
Yeah.
What does happen is that we do have small challenges with the implementation of these charts and actually the uploads of the data. Remember, in the past, you could fill in an Excel spreadsheet based on the information and submit that to National Treasury. Now, it's an encrypted file that comes out of the ERP systems. And I must say, the system vendors in the market has bent over backwards accommodating these requirements. Yet, we find that some of the budgets are not to the lowest project level of MSCOA.
Ah.
I want to give you an example.
Yeah, please do.
Pre-SCOA, we had two segments. In other words, a GFS classification that said I'm in the office of the mayor or the financial accountant or wah, 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 and an item. Only those two. So I could find my department and I could spend or either receive money. In SCOA, it's a very different story. We've got six segments, of which all six are regulated and one that's not regulated. And following that is 15 key business processes that is incorporated into this. So SCOA is not a financial reform. It is a business reform. And I think that is the biggest challenge. Because local government, I think if we're honest, it's never run as a business.
No, not at all. Some would even argue that national government shouldn't be run as a business, and we wonder why we have some of the challenges that we have. But we're definitely going to go deeper into the challenges that exist in implementation here with regards to MSCOA. Let's just take a call from Billy in Rustenburg. Good evening, Billy.
Hello, guys. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. You have an experience to share with us on this topic.
Yes, you see, I used to serve in SCOPA, Public Accounts Committee.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, non-conditional grant, I understand. Conditional grant that municipalities get to engage specific projects that the money is allocated for. In most cases, that is not the case.
What happens in your experience?
Now, let's say they get money to engage in a stormwater project in a particular township.
Mm-hmm.
And because of their mismanagement of finances, they don't have money to pay salaries. They take that money and pay salaries and hope that when they get the equitable share, then they'll replace the money.
Shoot, closing gaps.
So nobody does the monitoring. That's where the issue is.
Billy, let's get Maritz to answer to that. That is a fascinating one because we've read reports of this nature. Yeah. Essentially, you can't take money from Peter to pay Paul. That's simple.
Look, I think that is a very brilliant question from Rustenburg. And I think I've been very involved with Rustenburg as well, the area. So the problem is that MSCOA is not done with the implementation. In other words, the regulation is at a point where we are supposed to start locking down these funding elements. So in other words, if you have a dashboard, in other words, I'm going to give you a simple example.
Yeah.
If I'm riding my Mercedes and there's an indicator that says, listen, the oil is low, I'm going to stop and fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're flying blindly in our cash recons and our cash projections, you don't know that the money that was given to conditional grants is actually not there yet. So you start either spending on that project in the hope to subsidize, or even worse, when you budget, and remember this is now a balance sheet budgeting. In other words, you are projecting budget into the future. And this is the process we are in at this point in time. So SCOA says zero-based budgeting. So in other words, I'm going to fund this project using my own revenue.
Correct.
With the assumption that my own revenue is going to be collected at 80%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens? There is a figure in my budget that is a balance sheet budget. But the monitoring of my own revenue drops to 45%. Now, what we do as municipalities is we don't adjust that project. We still spend the 80%, but we only have 40% of it.
I see.
And this is why initiatives like revenue collection becomes critical. If you do not collect on that level of 80%, which you made the assumption of, you're going to run out of money. So, typical example, my own revenue. If I don't collect my salary at the end of the month, I cannot continue spending the way I am. And that's what municipalities unfortunately do. And the regulation has got so many positives in it. Those dashboards are designed to stop that sort of spending and make adjustments. You need to make downward adjustments. There's a thing in the MFMA. Remember, the MFMA has been there for a long time. It's our Bible as practitioners of local government. You need to do an adjustment budget. And most importantly, in this period, we're preparing draft budgets. That budget must be funded. In other words, you can't just pull a figure out of the air. That budget that you put through that's going to go live the 1st of July this year needs to be substantiated by either reserves or the funds allocate to it.
Right.
And that's where some of our biggest problems come. We are overspending. And our systems and what we focus on, normally we focus on people, process, and technology.
Mm.
Once you understand as a person what the SCOA regulation does, and as a process what it needs to do, we then work hand in hand with a system vendor to say, let's stop these practices.
Aha. Why is this not happening? Because we're going back to a lack of implementation. 2008 to current day 2021, the Auditor General recently released her report into municipal management. And again, it is painting the exact same story that has been told for so many years. And we have MSCOA, which on paper, it sounds great. It looks great. Efficient.
Yeah.
But we find ourselves here.
Look, I think we're in the infant stages of this regulation. I think we are misunderstanding the magnitude of what we are doing here.
Mm.
If you look at the implementation of SCOA in the country, we are leap years ahead of anything that has been done anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a testament of the power of the people of this country. The challenge is that the systems are at a point where they can lock down these indicators. It just needs to be followed through and adopted as accountability triggers in our municipalities.
Right.
And that step is coming very, very soon. So I hear the listener. I do appreciate that call that came from Rustenburg.
Mm.
And as a taxpayer myself, I would also like to see that the funds that is allocated to certain projects cannot be spent on anything else. And there's accountability to it.
I'm excited when you say this progress is coming soon. I want to find out on the technology side of things, are our systems in a functional condition to accommodate what MSCOA requires? Because it sounds like a detailed process of literally having a, you know, a to-do list that is functional, that is seen and quite transparent by everyone within that system.
Look, I think there's a piece of legislation or a piece in MFMA Circular 80 that has got detailed requirements of what a SCOA compliance system should do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can talk openly about it.
Mm.
All of the systems in the market are perfectly aligned to do those actions.
Yeah.
The challenge is putting in actually those business requirements, locking them down to that level.
Mm.
And that's a business decision that needs to be made. So what I'm saying tonight is an extreme positive look out to where we're going with this. I think we're all at a point where we want our money to go to the right channels. And I think what National Treasury has done with this piece of legislation is incredible. This implementation is not going to end soon.
Yeah.
It's a living creature as part of the MFMA. And as the MFMA evolves, MSCOA is going to come. In my view, it's going to stay for us for a long, long time. And we are going to evolve and just get better on MSCOA. It's going to change the municipal environment for the better.
It is about time. Let's take a call from Thabang in North Riding. Thabang Dumel.
Hi, my name is Joanna. Love the show.
Thank you for giving us a call. What is your question in this regard?
So I just have like a 2-3 part question. So just with regards to the conditional grant, is there a session over the account for that particular value, or is it over the entire account? I mean, I'm not really familiar with the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, with regards to the completion of a project, let's say it's a clinic, does it take into account the quality? So let's say 200 million is spent. Do we take into account the quality of the finished product? Because I think that's quite crucial. I mean, I'm from the Northwest and I've seen conditions of some clinics and libraries and it's just such a mess.
No, it's not just the Northwest, Waiti Thabang, but thank you so much. Let me just get clarity on your first question around conditional grants. Let's just unpack that in the most simplest terms so that we can get a defined answer from Moritz. Thabang?
Sorry?
I just wanted clarity on your first question around conditional grants.
Yes. So your guest mentioned that, you know, if the project is not started or, you know, there's no progress on it, the funds can be taken back. So do you put a session on the particular account where the funds are deposited for that particular amount, so that when the need arises, you can just simply, you know, revert the funds back?
I see exactly what you're asking. Thank you so, so much, Thabang. Maritz, that first question, I'm assuming the answer is no.
Look, there's a process. It's called a DORA Act. For a specific region. There's specific rules and engagement and processes for getting those grants allocated to municipalities. And I think some of our listeners are quite familiar with that. But that is the act that dispenses the money as it is needed per priority in the country and as per the IDP requirements and objectives. I think what happens to equitable share is that is based on the amount of poorest of the poor in your environment.
Yeah.
And I must be honest with you, the chunk or the beast of this fiscus allocation is our metros. They receive huge amounts of it. And of course, at the end of the day, they should be responsible and accountable for those funds. As far as just changing where the money goes, there's a process. You can't just reallocate. I think very important, earlier in the show, there was another R1 billion loan that was made. That money, just give you an example and be practical of what we're talking about. That money is going to get dispersed in the fiscus on a very responsible manner on how you're going to expense that and recover your COVID losses. The SCOA already caters for disaster management and disaster projects.
Brilliant.
So that is already in the system. The challenge is it's going to go through that entire process of the allocations as well. And it would probably have some condition to it.
That's
comforting. You can't use COVID-19 funds.
For something else.
No, you can't.
Totally unrelated. No.
Shouldn't.
Tabang's second question, and I love this one because the quality of a completed project, again, an issue that has been reported on widely. How does that factor into monitoring under MSCOA?
Look, MSCOA has got one key factor. It's got a multidimensional database with segments in it, in the ledger, but it also has got to the bottom of it a project. In essence, the business change needs to happen in municipalities. You need to realize that you are a project manager. If you're in any department of a municipality, whatever you're doing, there's a project. And the basics of a project is there's a cost allocated to, a quantity and a quality to it. So the systems that are being designed are based on the project management theory. So in essence, the call is 100% correct.
Yeah.
If there's a road to be built, the quality of that road should be an electronic input that measures whatever the output is to that.
Thank you so much for such a rich conversation. Really, we come out of it with far more information than we did prior to this particular discussion. That is Ntiyiso Consulting Associate Partner Maritz van Sail talking to us about the Municipal Standard Charter of Accounts, also known as MSCOA. I think this one is a winner. What we need to see is implementation. The proof is always in the pudding. It's 7:30.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.